Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Welcome to the week, Carrie Bickmore.
Oh, I am up and about using your words, Tommy Little.
I'm up and about too.
If you used my words, what would you say?
I'm here.
That's not what, how I talk or what I say.
Hi guys, Carrie here. I'm up and about as well. I'm feeling alive for the first time in a while. And you know what's weird? Sometimes I know about your weekends before you've told me about your weekends.
What do you mean?
I mean, I got a message
online,
this morning.
Social media.
Telling me, you were in the kitchen last night, mate.
Was that from my son or from Chris?
It was from Chris.
Yeah. They weren't happy with what I got up to in the kitchen last night.
You're going to find out all about it a bit later in the show. But up next, we've got to talk about the big bit of showbiz news, because you know this?
No.
Oh, listen to this.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? I have some very serious, serious news. I've been praying on this, and I decided, I know it was risky because I knew it could come off as corny to some people. Like, yo, I decided to change my name again. I'm just not who I am before. I'm something different.
Who is that?
You know when we've all had those moments where you think, I'm just not who I am before?
Oh, I know. I'm someone different.
Moments.
I know.
Yeah, I'm not who I am before.
Basis. Who is that?
You'll find out who it is, what they've changed their name to, and who I am before next.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Here's what I want to know from people. On 131060, give us a call. Have you tried to give yourself a nickname? Have you tried to get other people to start calling you something? Because it rarely works well.
And like you being called the weapon.
that works really well.
You're trying hard.
All people call me the weapon.
No one in here does.
Yeah, you just did then. I walked in, Sondra, our producer, goes, what up, weapon?
Yeah. She certainly did not.
Buzz said, howdy, weapon, didn't you?
Nope.
I love people that have the guts to go start calling me this. From now on, I'll be known as.
Well, I didn't say start calling me, but I did get a belt buckle that had weapon, and I think I started tucking my T-shirt in, and I thought people picked up on it.
So who's changed their name? Who was that we were listening to before?
Let's have a listen one more time, Buzz Ol.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? I have some very serious, serious news. I've been praying on this, and I decided, I know it was risky because I knew it could come off as corny to some people. Like, yo, I decided to change my name again. I'm just not who I am before. I'm something different.
Okay, let's think who that could be. Change their name again. Let's think
something
of people
big
who
happened
have gone
in their
through.
Life. Let's think, oh, let's happened think again, who have gone so they've already changed their
names.
Name.
Prince.
What was right? he? The artist formerly known as.
And then went
as.
The symbol, and then the artist formerly okay. known as, so it's clearly not him.
No.
Let's think, is there any Aussie? That didn't sound like an Aussie accent. There's only the artist formerly known as Andrew G.
Oh, I know.
Gone a very successful name change.
what's his name? Puff. Puff Daddy.
No. It's the artist formerly known as Puff Daddy.
What's his most recent name?
Diddy. No, P. Diddy. I think he went back to P. Diddy. Anyway, Buzz, is Carrie right?
So my new name is Love, a.k.a. Brother Love.
Yes.
That doesn't tell me who he is.
Well, sorry, this bitch tells you who he is.
I will not be answering to Puffy, Diddy, Puff Daddy, or any of my other monikers, but Love or Brother Love, okay?
He's had so many, you can't even name them all. I can't even remember them.
Brother okay. Love.
Brother Love.
Yeah.
So what started this? Why? Has he explained any more as to why?
I think boredom. No, he said there's not enough love in the world, so he wants to call himself Love.
Well, give him everything that's happening in the world.
It's awful, don't
Brother
you think?
Love.
Yeah.
That's better than Puff Daddy.
What if it was Puffy Love?
Love Daddy.
Yeah, just into people with allergic reaction. Love Daddy. Oh.
P. Diddy. If you think of all of them, they've all been P. Diddy. What was that?
I kind of like Diddy, though.
Diddy on its own. Yeah. I like Diddy
Puff
better
is
P.
the
Diddy.
Only one. He said Puff was his name as a kid. They used to call him Puffy as a
right.
kid. But now he's just started guessing.
What's his original name? Sean. Is it Sean?
Sean Combs. Combs. Sorry, I went to go to our first call, and I've realised it is an absolute mouthful, so I'm going to have a crack at it, and forgive me for getting it wrong. Gurkhanjali?
It's Gitanjali.
Gitanjali.
Oh, I don't think that's your fault that you can't say it. I think our producer doesn't know how to write that.
Yeah.
it's my name. Don't worry, it's always been like that.
Gitanjali's a cute name. And so did you try and give yourself a nickname because people did what I just did and went, hey, Gurkhanjali?
No, it's just you get sick of of it because everyone just can't say it, right? So you just make something up. So I'm like, oh, hey, GGG, whatever you want. Just
I was going to say, is your nickname GG? That's what I would have called you. That's a great name, Gigi.
Yeah. Did it pick up?
I was going to say.
It's really weird, but, you know.
Karen Tommy's in the background there.
Gigi started listening to herself on radio.
I would too if I had that name.
Yeah.
That's a great
Let's
name.
Let's go to Olivia. Olivia, have you tried to give yourself a nickname?
Yes.
What was it?
The OG.
What?
The OG.
The OG. And did it catch on?
Yeah, it did.
With anybody but you?
My whole Year 12 cohort.
Oh.
They all called you the OG.
Yeah.
Is your last name start with a G, or is it just you wanted a gangster nickname?
Not the. Yep. Okay. I am a gangster, and my last name starts with G, and my first name starts with an O.
Yeah, the most gangster thing you can say is I am a gangster. I really like it.
Is it different if you...
My last name starts with G and my first name starts with an O.
Yeah, the most gangster.
What are
a lot of
doing?
People loving listening to themselves on radio today. Is it matter if you choose to give yourself the name? Like, so, for example, Chris, my partner growing up, his nickname was Head. Because he's got a big head.
Oh, wow.
They just called him Head.
I mean, that could have.
But it's different. It's different.
That's weird that you and him have the same nickname.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
As you already know, because I got a message from your gorgeous partner this morning, just letting me know that you had been in the kitchen last night.
I know, I made a beautiful dinner. Bit of satay chicken, bit of dessert.
Do you reckon that's why he'd message?
No, I'm sure it's not.
He had a particular issue with one thing that you made and you went a bit rogue with it. He said it was an absolute disaster. His exact words were...
Disaster.
She thinks she can make anything work, full stop. It didn't work.
I thought it was ingenious.
I knew you'd think it was. And that is why...
What?
Yes, no.
Do you want me to tell you or not?
No.
You're just going to decide for yourself.
You can tell us what it is, of course.
After the satay, I decided we hadn't had dessert in a while, so I took out of the freezer some apple pies.
Yum!
Better than homemade, like the proper Nana's apple pies, single-serve ones.
Yeah.
Put them in the oven.
Yum.
Hard work. Anyway, then I came out and realised I didn't have any ice cream or cream, right?
Yes.
And I think that apple pie, because it's tart and a bit sour, needs something like... Sort of,
I will say it is still pretty good by itself.
Nah,
you're right. It's better with other stuff.
It's better with something creamy, right?
Yeah.
So I realised I didn't have ice cream or cream.
Mm.
And I went, you know what I'll do? I'll pour some milk over them.
Just milk. Just bog standard milk. Cold milk. Just milk.
Yeah.
And then
I took them over to my family and I said, here's your apple pie. And they both went, what's on top of it? Why is it all soggy?
What?
And I said, because I put milk on it.
And tomorrow morning for breakfast, you can have Vita Brits and ice cream. I knew you'd say it was fine and it'll be okay.
I ate it. It was delicious.
Yeah, okay. I don't doubt that you ate it. I doubt the second half. We do have your gorgeous son on the phone. G'day, Ollie.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, hi, honey.
Good.
It's good. Now, tell me honestly, what were you thinking when Mum gave you the apple pie with the milk last night?
Well, me and Chris looked at each other like, has Mum gone mad?
And it was on a plate, so it was just like...
How was the milk holding on the plate?
It wasn't, because I didn't, like, drench it. I just put a little bit on top.
Okay, and Ollie, how was it? Was it good?
Yeah, but what happened was she went back to see what else was in the fridge. She brought out custard, and me and Chris said... Can we have it warm? And she said no, because it was in one of Evie's little squeezy tubes.
What happened was when they rejected my milk, I thought there must be something else. And I remembered that Evie had a squeezy tube of baby custard. So
Ollie,
I brought the baby custard out and squirted it on top.
Ollie, did your mum give you apple pie with milk and baby food?
Yes.
But was it the most delicious thing you've ever eaten?
Not really.
Hey, Ollie, you're a pretty good cook yourself. I hear you cooking dinner tonight.
Yeah, spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, and is there...
Do you
there...
want some of my tips on how to make it better?
Add milk.
Add milk. Good stuff, Ollie. Is there going to be dessert tonight, Ollie?
Maybe some. Maybe there might be some spare apple pies.
There is a spare apple pie in the freezer.
Okay,
you can
well
have
then
that
I'll
one.
Put milk on it.
Yeah, great. If you're lucky, Mum might whip you up something. Hey, thanks, Ollie.
Thanks, honey.
That's all right.
Have a good one, and I hope Mum never makes you dessert again. See you, mate.
I'd like to point out that that plate was wiped clean, so it can't have been that bad.
Of course it was wiped clean. You poured a liquid on it.
No, everyone ate it, enjoyed it, and I had no complaints.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
I always ate my mum's cooking. It didn't mean it was good.
You hated your mum's cooking. What did you used to call it?
I love my mum. Hey?
I thought you had a name for her, or your friends had a name for her.
My mum?
Oh, maybe this is a private name.
No. There wasn't. Now you're making it like there was. There wasn't. She just was never a great cook.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, let's talk about this. Let's do Disaster Chef. Do you reckon, you don't even have to reckon you're great, just how bad did it go in the kitchen? I mean, you probably can't top apple pie and just tipping a bit of milk.
Or if you've got a few tips like I do on how to spice up your dessert.
Yeah, exactly. Give us a call, 131060. Oh, my mum's already on the line. Good, this will be good.
131060, Disaster Chef, we're looking for your calls. We'll take them next.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hi, I'm Rosie Waterland, and my memoir, The Anti-Cool Girl, was a story about my childhood. A childhood with mentally ill, addict parents, child protection, foster care, and more. But my mum says none of it is true. So now we're comparing our versions of the past with my Podcast One series, Mum Says My Memoir Is a Lie. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We are doing the first ever edition of Disaster Chef.
It's not. It doesn't need to be Disaster Chef.
Yeah, it is.
I just tried to mix it up in the kitchen last night. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and perhaps pouring milk over an apple pie didn't bring it to life.
I kind of get you thinking.
Yes.
It is dairy.
Yep.
And you, in the absence of cream and ice cream, thought,
put a bit of milk.
The
thing that destroyed it, because I ate it as well, it went from being crispy to soggy, which ice cream would do anyway.
Well, almost like you just poured a liquid all over the top of it.
We've got Jimmy on the line from the Hunter Valley. Jimmy, when have you had a Disaster Chef moment?
There you go, Bickers. It's not really a Disaster Chef moment. I'll just like to invite you over for dinner with my family-in-law because they have apple pie and milk every single time they have it.
Do they?
Wow.
Yeah, hot apple pie and cold milk.
And
Not a drink of milk like I did, poured over the top.
Yes, from the bottle, the liquid kind.
And Jimmy, is it cold milk or is it heated up with the
pie? Apple pie and cold milk on top.
Well,
see,
I never.
Something. This is a thing.
Either you're both geniuses or because you've just found another idiot family.
I like
family
how you
out
call
there
me because I feel like I'm a genius mate.
It's great. It, actually, and it's kind of made me go, maybe I should try the milk on the apple pie thing.
Michelle, what's your Disaster Chef moment?
We used salt instead of sugar in scones. It was really bad. Cooking hasn't improved since then.
Salvageable or couldn't even salvage them?
I couldn't even salvage them. They were gross.
It's a bit of a, is it a hard mistake to make?
Because caster sugar and salt look very similar.
Yeah, but I guess I don't have a big thing. I've only got salt in a small thing, so I would have been shaking my salt shaker.
No, because some people have lots of big portions of salt if you're cooking en masse.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how it works. All right. Fair enough.
I'll teach you some things. Come into my kitchen one day, mate, and I'll teach you something.
I'm picturing someone with those little shakers going, how do I need half a cup of this? I've been shaking for about 20 minutes.
Alicia, have you ever been a disaster chef?
I have. So my parents went away for a few weeks and I decided to cook steamed dim sims. Boiled the pot dry. So then I thought I could save them by microwaving them, and then I short-circuited my house and I had no power.
You put the pot in the microwave?
No. So after the pot failed and almost burnt my house down by catching on fire, then I put them in a bowl with water because that's what the instructions said to do on the packet. And then I don't know what I did to my microwave, but then that short-circuited my house.
Did you put something over them or something?
What, weird.
Like tin
no,
foil?
No, I didn't put metal in. I know not to put metal in a microwave. I know that much.
Tommy.
Yeah, sorry. How strange. Oh. It's an expensive.
That is a big disaster.
Yeah, dim sims are meant to be cheap. It's just cost you about $400 a new microwave. Let's go to Stu. Stu, finish us off. What happened?
Right, so I'll set the mood. Met a girl back in 2009, married her. Right,
okay.
We're going all right. Couple of dates, invited her over to my house for dinner. Decided to cook a red wine casserole in a slow cooker.
Charming devil.
Forgot one of the ingredients being the red wine. So had a look in the fridge, have a look at what I've got. I was a bachelor at the time. Can of VB.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Added the VB to it. I thought it was all right. She couldn't eat it. She said it was the most disgusting thing she had ever tasted. But she still married me in the end, so.
See, but the fact that you thought you could just mix it up, you know, what's the difference? It's alcohol, bit of VB. Beer battered fish and chips. Beer battered chips, you know what I mean?
God, like, and then if you guys were together, afterwards you could have an apple pie drenched in VB for dessert.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Taylor Swift's Reputation is out November 10.
Are you ready for it?
Hey. Trouble. The old Taylor can't come to the phone right now because she's dead.
Look what you just made me do.
Hi. Hey, this is Taylor Swift. We're going to have some fun.
Taylor Swift Reputation Celebration over in New York City. Oh. You, your bestie, over there for 3 nights. You can register now if you want to play against Selena, hopefully, at hit.com.au.
This is incredible. Selena has been playing so well. She's been our carryover champ since the competition started. She's already answered 3 questions right and not even a pause, just straight in. And now there's 3 questions standing between Selena and this trip of a lifetime.
Yes. And sometimes Selena gives us such attitude with her answers. She's like, I can't believe you thought that question was hard enough. Selena, are you feeling confident?
I hope so. I mean, I had an exam today. I didn't feel a bit more. It's all good.
Okay.
Hopefully it's not too hard.
Okay. Unlike you, Carrie, Selena can not cheat and still pass.
I'm just to ignore that dig.
The one person who may stand in your way, Kira, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Now, Kira, this is either the most frustrating game for you or the easiest game because either way you don't get a go. Basically what happens, we ask Selena the question. If she gets it right, she's through. If she gets it wrong, you're through. Are you ready to do nothing, Kira?
Absolutely. That's what I'm best at.
Okay, Selena.
Here is the question. What record label did Taylor Swift first sign with?
RCA.
Selena, it was Big Machine Records.
I know that that's her label, but she was originally signed to like the Sony ATV. So
what you've done is you've given me more Taylor Swift information than I have. Selena.
Oh no,
Sonda, our producer is here with us.
Sonda's going to come in because we can't handle this now. Sonda, take over.
Well, I can't handle it either. go to a song and adjudicate, and we'll find out before the end of today's show. That is a nervous way to
the tension.
Okay, Selena, Kira, hold there. We need to find out whether Selena's answer is right. We will let you know in the next few minutes. So stay with us all. We're going to play a song.
Don't say a few minutes, mate. It might be 20 minutes.
Okay.
Well, I just mean don't put pressure on everybody.
We're going to find out next after this.
That's enough.
Pink.
I don't know if we are. By the end of the show, Buzz.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, you might have seen in the news at the moment the horrible situation on Manus Island. The detention centre there has been closed. There's about 600 refugees who are still there. They're being forced to go live into the PNG community. They're fearing for their lives. They don't want to go into the PNG community, so they are staying put. But everything's been stopped. There's no water. There's no food. There's no electricity. There's no health services now since Tuesday. And the UN is describing the situation there as an unfolding humanitarian emergency. So it's a horrible situation.
The last pictures I saw from there was last night on the project. We talked about it, and they were images of people digging for water. That's how desperate they were getting.
And if you don't know a lot about the Manus Island Detention Centre, we probably don't have long enough even in the entire hour we do this show to explain to you. But it was first established in like 2001. It's been opened and closed and opened and closed heaps of time. Last year, the detention of asylum seekers there was deemed illegal. So the government has decided to close it, and that's why they've closed it. But it's not without like violence, people taking their own lives, deaths. Horrible stuff has been happening over there over the years. So now we're in a situation where all these refugees need somewhere to go. New Zealand's offered to resettle 150 of them, but our government has said no.
Yeah, well, I believe the reason that our government doesn't like this is because their whole stance was if you arrive here if you try to arrive by boat, you will never, ever be resettled in Australia. Yep. And they think that if you do get settled in New Zealand, that's basically an entrance into Australia.
And they've also said that they want to keep working on this US resettlement deal, yes, which has been in the works.
Which will resettle, I think, 1,250 refugees from memory.
So Russell Crowe is even weighed in on it. He's called it a national disgrace. And himself, when pressed on it, said he would personally house and find jobs for up to six refugees. He is so appalled by what's happening up there. But in amongst all of the angst, and there is so much horrible stuff coming out of this story, there is a story of hope and joy that I want to share with you. And it involves a very good friend of mine. And we are going to chat to her.
Is it going to be joy? Are you promise?
I promise there is joy at the end of this story.
Okay, I won't flick over.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, you promised me joy.
I'm going to give you joy. I have a girlfriend called Chelsea who's an incredible woman. She is a nurse who's worked in refugee health. She's worked in Haiti, in Nepal. She's helped care for children who are dying. I honestly don't know how she does the job that she does.
You know those people who, if they just did one of the things they did, it would be more good work than I would do in my whole life.
Absolutely.
And then they're like, they've done that 10 times over.
This is Chelsea, and I wanted to welcome her to the studio now. Welcome.
G'day, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Now, a couple of years ago, I remember at dinner, you came over for dinner and you said you were going to go what? You're going to go live up?
Going to go and work in Manus for a month, yeah.
Manus Island to do what?
So I went to Manus in 2014 to coordinate the immunization program on Manus, which was a difficult situation or decision for me to make at the time, obviously, as a healthcare worker working in that environment. You know, as many healthcare workers have talked about, you're working under a system that isn't necessarily following your ethical beliefs, but at the same time, providing a service and providing health needs for people that desperately needed it at the time. So I made the decision to go, and it was, you know, from a work perspective, a fantastic experience. And horrific conditions, though. You know, I guess everything that you hear about the circumstances on Manus, the conditions that are there, absolutely true.
Horrific. I remember getting the emails from you and the limited contact with you, but every time I spoke to you, you just said it was hell.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it would matter what side of the political fence you sit on. You wouldn't wish this upon your worst enemy. It was just tragic.
Chelsea, what's the worst part about being there for the people that are detained? Is it just the general living conditions? Is it the isolation? Is it the lack of hope?
Look, I think, I don't know whether I'd be the best person to answer that, but I think in talking to the guys when I was there, I think it was that complete lack of control over your destiny. It's worse than being in a prison. At least in a prison, you know how long you're going to be there, what your sentence is. It was the absolute lack of your destiny, of knowing, you know, control, of hope over your life, of knowing what the future would hold.
Yeah.
And the stories that you heard during that, I mean, some of the people that were fleeing, what can you paint the picture for us about some of those personal stories that you heard while you were there?
Yeah, so, I mean, there were people there, you know, from Burma. There were, you know, Rohingya men there. There were people there from Syria. All of the conflicts and devastation that you're hearing around the world were the people that were sitting in Manus, you know, and there's this sort of fallacy that perhaps people are there for other reasons. And I think the reality is if people had any other option but to be on Manus, they would take it. They wouldn't have taken a boat in the first place, and they certainly wouldn't be staying in those circumstances, those horrific circumstances that I firsthand witnessed on Manus, if they had any other option whatsoever.
Now, Chelsea, Carrie did promise me a feel-good story out of this.
I know it hasn't been
so
too
far,
feel-good.
I haven't experienced any joy.
So,
yes.
While you were there, you met a man called Amir. Tell us a little bit about Amir and why he became so important to you.
I did. So, as I said, I was there providing immunization services, and there were an abundance of flu vaccines when I was there, and they really weren't being used. The way that the immunization clinic worked, it was a very sort of slow process to get people up to the clinic to actually immunize. And so we had an idea that we'd actually go and deliver the vaccines in the compound to actually get high coverage of flu vaccine, and it was flu season when I was there, so we felt that this was quite important. And Amir helped coordinate that. He's assisted us in the compounds to get into each compound, and really spoke to the guys to make sure that public health message was getting out, you know, did some of the interpreting for us, but got the guys on board. He was a huge spokesperson.
Where was he from?
Center, from Iran.
From Iran.
And I guess I got to know Amir during that time, and he was just an absolutely lovely, gentle beautiful soul. We had quite a bit of time just sort of chatting. He took me through a garden that he had sort of tried to grow, and he made a comment at one point that he was upset. He was trying to grow a watermelon, and this was when he was learning English, and he said that he was upset because someone had picked the watermelon before it was cooked.
Now, Amir, I mean, if you had your way, you would be bringing all of these people to our gorgeous country, and you can't. Sure. But you decided that you would try and get Amir to Canada to go live with your mum and dad.
His mum would have loved that.
What is that phone call? You say, hey, mum, I've got an idea.
Yeah, so I spent a year living back in Vancouver a couple of years ago, and through a friend was contacted by Amir, and he was wanting some assistance to get to Canada, and I didn't know of another organization, so I went to my parents and said, look, we need to do something. We need to put our heads together. And so a private group of us, which we are now know ourselves as the Amir Group, got together, and it was really my parents, I guess, and myself that, you know, now we can sort of sit here and say it's great. But it was a lot of advocating, a lot of work. My dad has done an enormous amount of lobbying and telephone calls and emails and you name it. And I kept saying to Amir throughout this whole process, if there was anybody that you wanted advocating this case, it was my dad. He's a very determined man.
Now, Chelsea, I don't mean to speed things along too quickly, but we do have to wrap up because we're running out of time. Please just tell me, the story's had a happy ending and Amir's living with your family now.
Amir arrived to Vancouver last Wednesday morning. Absolutely overwhelming emotional joy when he arrived. And he's, living with my parents, settling into life in Vancouver. Could not be more ecstatic.
Who'll be easy to live with, you or Amir, for your parents?
Well, as you know, Carrie, I'm a little OCD.
So, you know what, in amongst all the horrible stories we hear, there is some joy, and hopefully that can become a common story and more these people can get a second chance at life. Chelsea, you're amazing. I'm so proud to call you a friend. I wish you could go around personally housing everybody in need. But thank you for everything you do.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hey, for nearly the last month, we've been asking for Taylor Swift's biggest fans.
Yeah.
And they just need to answer some questions and then can win a once-in-a-lifetime prize. Them and their mates heading over to New York.
Yep. To celebrate her new album, Reputation.
Yes. The problem is when you get the biggest fans, often they know more about Taylor Swift than the people that write our questions do. And Selena, are you on the line there?
I'll sum everything up for you. We asked Selena what record label did Taylor Swift first sign with. She gave us an answer. It wasn't the answer on our piece of paper.
The answer on our piece of paper was Big Machine Records.
Selena said the answer was
RCA. We looked at each other confused.
We've gone to the adjudicator and we're excited to say...
We might have Selena on the phone now. Selena, are you there? God, why don't we go back?
Selena, you are right. You are going through the next round. Hopefully you get to hear this somewhere.
Hey, Mish and Andy, they are in next. See ya.
Our reputation has been destroyed.
The Carrie and Tommy catch-up is ready to podcast now on radio app or iTunes.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @CarrieTommyShow.